Oh, it's a pleasure. Those who come on the stage and honor God and their singing and praises that we're able to also enjoy as well. And so I really appreciate that special music today. Before I get started, I got a couple things to share with you. I have a flower that a young lady gave me. I'm trying to wonder why she gave that to me. Maybe I need something to spruce up my attire, or I could just be special. So, not sure which one it is. I'm confessing, Carol Cleaver is my neighbor to the south in Oklahoma. We were talking before church. And I said, I told him, I said, if you see me tap my watch, he said, well, what does that mean? I said, that means you're going to get off the stage. I think I might have made him just a little bit nervous, so I apologize for that. Cheryl will make it up somehow. I'm not sure how. I might make it up to you next time I see you. You know, Gene Kranz was a retired NASA flight director and manager. And you may not recognize his name. He watched the Apollo 13 movie, even the man. He served as a flight director for early space travel in the Gemini and Apollo programs. He wrote a book entitled Failure is Not an Option. He related stories from successes and failures to the difficult decisions that he had to make as the flight director. As NASA achieved their goals in space, even including landing on the moon. There were some similarities between Gene Kranz and his team were able to achieve that goal of landing on the moon in our journey to God's kingdom. You know, they had a passion, they were willing to overcome difficult trials and difficult tests, and whatever obstacles came up to do their job and put the land on the moon. Now, we need to have passion, we need to have a willingness to sacrifice as well as we continue on this spiritual journey to God's kingdom. Now, we need to continue to follow God no matter what happens in our lives. We need to never give up, never turn back as well. So today I have three important points which can help us finish our journey to God's kingdom. The Bible tells us it won't be easy. It's not easy to change our carnal nature. It takes God's help. It takes God leading our lives to accomplish this. And sometimes it's much more difficult than we anticipate. Challenges come up in our physical lives that we didn't anticipate. Now, God started us on this journey. We all start from different areas, different walks of life. We're not all the same. There's different races, there's different nationalities. But God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And no matter where we start is not important. God has kind of the first group that he calls to help those in God's kingdom that have lived the same kind of lives that we've lived as well, so that we can teach them and help them. God's greatest miracle is how his holy character can become part of our character, become part of our thoughts, our actions. It's not a matter of where we start, it's a matter of where we finish. The title for today's message is Finish Our Journey to God's Kingdom. Finish our journey to God's kingdom. The first point I want to bring out is to stay focused, keeping our eyes on the goal. Stay focused, keeping our eyes on the goal. When President Kennedy did not want the United States to lose the space race against the Soviet Union, so he made a speech claiming his goal to be the first to land on the moon. At the time, it seemed like an impossible goal. There were many who said it would cost too much. There were some that said it couldn't be done. It took resolve and focus to achieve that goal 8 years later. So Gene Kranz said they were fired up. They were passionate. They looked forward to the challenge of landing on the moon. Brethren, we have a goal that's much greater than that. We have passion. Are we excited about the opportunity that God has given us? Now, some of us have been in God's church for decades. Are we still focused on that goal? Now, if we're not focused on that goal of being part of God's family, being part of God's kingdom, we will not make it. Now, there's all these naysayers around us. There's many distractions in this world. It takes effort to pray. It takes effort to read and study our Bible, to choose to do what's right, choose to have a close relationship with God, our Father. To be part of God's kingdom has to be real to us. It has to be something that we imagine in our mind, we imagine in our hearts. You may have heard this expression sometimes. I've even used it myself. Have you ever wanted something so bad you could taste it? Have you wanted something, some event, something to happen in your life so much that you care about to taste it? So God's plan and purpose for us is to be part of his family. We just came through the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures Jesus Christ returning to the second time. So it's his return. We'll rise up and meet him in the air. We'll be part of the wedding supper as well. Do we focus on those things? Can we see that happening in our lives? We want to be there. We all want to be there. We need to look forward to that. We look forward to the Day of Atonement when Satan's bound and put away. We see the deceiver of this world put away as a sin. And here we are celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. And all mankind will have the opportunity to do that and understand God's truth and to apply it in their lives. But God's plan provides us a purpose and a goal which should frame each day and how we live. It's a different perspective when we go out to work that day or go to school, no matter what our activities are that day. We should keep that in mind. God has a purpose for us. That purpose, he's offering us salvation, the opportunity to be a part of his family. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read verses 16 through 18. In chapter 4, Paul wrote about Satan had blinded most of the world and the opportunity for those God's working with to come out of darkness, to know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and will continue to work in each of us as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 16, I'll read this from the New English Translation. It says, therefore do not despair, but even if your physical bodies are wearing away, our inner person is renewed day by day. For a momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, because we are not looking at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. What we see, what we can see is temporary, but what we cannot see is eternal. There's a loophole here not to lose heart. We know our physical bodies are wearing out. The older we get, the more our bodies have more aches and pains. It's talking here about keeping our eyes focused on the things that cannot be seen. Keep our minds focused on what God has promised us. It talks about light suffering. Have any of you ever experienced light suffering? Every suffering I put through is hard. But when you have the right perspective, and you know that what we're preparing for is so much bigger than the physical life. The suffering that we have in this life can be lighter. It can be lighter. Not to lose heart, God's preparing us for something that's eternal. You cannot see it in your eyes, you cannot feel it. You can do physical things, you can see it, as I said, in our minds and our hearts, and we need to stay focused upon it. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, read verses 1 and 2. Tell us about where our focus should be. In terms of it, if you want, I almost decided wanted to read it, but I think it's good to turn to it. It's a scripture that we need to be keeping in our minds each day as well. We stay focused on the things of God. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have a great cloud of witnesses recorded in the Bible for it. Those who were faithful, they didn't let anything hinder them from finishing and completing what God started in them. We have those examples for us. We need to be committed to being a disciple of Christ, keep our eyes focused upon him as an example, setting the right goal each day and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Even hungry and thirsting after righteousness. We need to continue on this journey to grow in godly love. A love for God, love for his truth, and love for those he's working with. We have a wonderful opportunity to be with our spiritual family. Take the opportunity to be with them. We can encourage you. Nothing else to keep us from focusing on what God is offering us. Stay focused on his kingdom. Second point I want to bring out today, there'll be challenges and difficult decisions. There'll be challenges and difficult decisions. Now, during the final test of Apollo 1, there was an electrical fire that spread rapidly through the capsule. It was locked and three astronauts unable to be rescued. Died. Emergency plans were not ready for such an emergency. Dean Kranz held himself and NASA accountable for that fire. He felt that compromises had taken place. Placing schedule, making sure everything was in place had not been done. He made the following pronouncement on his return to work. I want to quote that. If you look at the second point of challenges and difficult decisions. This quote from Gene Kranz. From this day forward, flight control will be known by two words, tough and competent. Tough means forever accountable for what we do or what we fail to do. We will never again compromise our responsibility. Every time we walk into mission control, we will know what we stand for. Competent means we will never take anything for granted. We will never be found short in our knowledge and our skills. It's 2.5 later to Paul 11 landed on the moon. Brethren, are we spiritually tough? We will be held accountable for what we know and what we've been given, for what we do or what we fail to do. God's given us a tremendous opportunity. We need to be spiritually competent, not taking for granted God's forgiveness, setting us free from sin. The opportunity to have his Holy Spirit dwelling in us, working with us. We shouldn't be found lacking in the knowledge. God's Spirit will help us understand the truth. We know that God's Spirit also helps us to overcome whatever challenges or decisions we face. But some of the challenges we face are a result of our own decisions, but God also allows other challenges in our life as well. We see throughout the Bible, many who were tested, who sometimes failed those tests, they often continued in their lives and were able to overcome those. You know about Abraham, who was told to sacrifice his son, the son of promise. He'd come to a point in his life where he was able to do that, where he had the faith to do that. Moses made the decision not to live a life of privilege in Egypt. Later on, the Jews, by God, lead the nation, lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the nation of Israel. Esther, a Jew, became queen, made the decision to help her people be saved. Of course, we have Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Made the decision, no matter what happened, they were going to follow God, not the king. Now, spiritual growth often comes with challenges. We need to make sure that we're ready for them. We be ready for those challenges that will come. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, read verses 67 to 69. You know, earlier in these verses, Jesus was telling those who were fallen that he was the bread of life. They needed to eat of that bread and drink of his blood. They didn't understand that he was speaking spiritually. Many quit following him. In John chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 67. John chapter 6, verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "You also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We also come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We keep that in our mind. We keep that in our mind. We are going through trials. We have difficult decisions to make. God will be there for us. He's the only one that can truly help us. When we seek him and his will and allow him to lead us, we can face the difficult challenges, the difficult decisions that we have, and continue on in this life. If you find yourself drifting spiritually, make a decision to go back to God. Improve your relationship with him through prayer and Bible study. Continue to seek him. For compromising with God's commandments and truth. Make a difficult decision, but following God closely. Make the hard decisions that need to be made. It's been said that we live in an age that some people are referring to as digital Babylon. Digital Babylon. I have a word for you today. Have you ever heard of nomophobia? Anybody heard of that? Nomophobia? At least one person would. Nomophobia is the fear of being without your phone. Those who have nomophobia get anxious, stressed out when they can't find their phone, or when their battery is low, or when they have no cell coverage. It's interesting. And that says that 66% of people don't find mobile phones. We do live in a digital Babylon. The world's challenging. We need to be ready for those challenges. We need to unplug from the things of this world. They're not helping us. I enjoy having a cell phone, a wonderful tool to have. We can't take control of our lives. We need to come out of the digital Babylon. We need to make sure that we're ready to face the tough decisions that will happen in this physical life as God prepares us for eternity. Make sure that we're spiritually competent, not lacking in knowledge, that we're not compromising what we've been taught. God will give us his power and help us as we prepare and continue on our journey to his kingdom. The last point I want to bring out today, continue to persevere. Continue to persevere. Now, rarely did a flight into space go smoothly for mission control. Almost every mission seemed to have challenges, emergencies overcome. Apollo 11 almost didn't land on the moon because of a computer issue. Almost made them abort the landing. Apollo 12 was struck by lightning. Going up in space. The electrical system and guidance system have problems as well. You watch the movie Apollo 13, Jim Lovell said, "Houston, we've had a problem." It's truly an understatement. It's very difficult to get them back to Earth. Watch that movie due to electrical issues and oxygen system failing. I looked up the word persevere in the American Heritage Dictionary. I'm going to read this to you. Listen to it carefully. It's the definition of persevere. To persist steadfastly in pursuit of undertaking a task, a journey, or mission in spite of distraction, difficulty, obstacles, discipline. Does that not sound like the journey that we're on? We're on a mission. We're on a journey, a task. You have to be steadfast because there will be distractions, there'll be difficulties and obstacles, and discouragement. We have to persevere. One of the things that can help us persevere is to stay positive. Stay positive. My daughter's in her early 30s. Sometimes she says, I'm being negative Nate when we have a conversation. I tell her, I think of myself as positive Pete. I don't leave anyone out. There's probably some negative Nancy's here or positive Paul's. I don't know. Sorry. No offense if you have those names. But all of us can be more positive. Being positive changes your perspective on what you're going through in your life. It changes how you look at things. You're going through a trial, ask for a show of hands, or going through a difficult time. Being negative helps you through that trial. I don't think it has. It hasn't helped me or the trials I go through. All of us need to be more positive in our lives. Be positive changes your whole perspective. You go to God in prayer, you ask for His help, read His words, and find yourself on your knees. Pray to God. Look at Him and ask Him for His help. He'll help us be positive. He'll help us to see how that we can persevere through whatever we're going through in our lives. We give thanks to God. We remember back all the things that He's helped us through, all the times that He's been throughout our lives. Just be positive as well. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we'll read verses 32 to 33. Jesus has given His disciples some final instructions before His death and resurrection. John chapter 16, we'll start at verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you'll be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in a world, in the world that you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then, if we ever felt alone, we all have at times. You know, God will always be there for us. Sometimes we feel alone because our actions or what we're doing not keeping us close to God. Well, God's never going to give up on us. We pray today, God never cancels people. He continues to work with us. What a great proverb, what terrible it was. Prodigal son. Prodigal son. In return, his father took him back to him. To God, and he's thinking, oh, he'll be there for him. He never moved. He wants to move away from him sometimes. We have problems. We take them to God and we try to work them out ourselves. I found, especially since I became a pastor, I take my problems to God. I don't offer Him solutions. I just take them to Him. I give them to Him and ask Him for help. Whatever way that He wants to help me, I ask Him for help. One of the things I want to remind everyone, when you give your problems to God, don't get them back. Even with Him, He will take care of them. I think we've all seen that in our lives as well. It's something we need to remember. But God will help us persevere and overcome this world. We just need to stay positive. Look to Him for guidance. Look to Him for help. And He will give us the comfort and help that we need. But Dean Krantz's team was also prepared to handle many different difficult situations that came up that they may encounter. They're always, as I said earlier, always encountering problems. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 43 and 46. Being prepared can help us persevere spiritually. now is the time to be preparing, not when you're in the midst of a problem or something difficult in your life. You be preparing and be ready all the time. We're told about that here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is faithful and wise servant whose master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. You be spiritually awake each day. You be prepared. I said, you be prepared when difficult times come. But you need to be preparing when life is a little bit easier. Paul, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, told us about how to prepare spiritually. He's putting on the armor of God. The armor of God is not something you can leave in your closet, you can have in the trunk of your car, not something that you can leave under the chair or the bed, something that you must put on each day. Put it on each day. I'll run through these right quick as a reminder. The belt of truth, which defends us against Satan, which will deceive. The breastplate of righteousness, which protects our heart from sin, and helps us to continue to have a right relationship with God. Shoes of the gospel of peace, shoes that we need to move forward in God's plan towards his kingdom, being a light, sharing the gospel with others we're able to share. Shield of faith. Shield of faith will never fail us. We need to continue to use it to block everything that will attack our faith. We all understand Satan can't be attacking faith. We need to always be having that shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, which protects our minds. We can actually be growing and having the mind of Christ. God's grace, we are delivered into his kingdom. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. God's Spirit guides us to understand the Bible, guides us in our lives. It helps us. We need to make sure that we wear these each day. But persevere, we need to persevere spiritually. The Bible teaches us. We all have to be up and down. We all know that. God will be there for us. We need to be doing our part as well, putting on the spiritual armor. Use the tools that you've been given. Psalms chapter 28, verse 7 reminds us that God is the source of all spiritual strength and stamina that we need to persevere. I'll read that. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I praise him. What does God truly want from me today? What does he truly want from me today? He wants a close relationship with us. He wants to be our Father. We need to remember that he is the one who can help us persevere. We need to make sure that we stay close to him. We have a healthy relationship with him. When we persevere, we have to overcome obstacles, overcome this world under Satan's influence. Part of that is testing and completion of our faith. Testing to make sure we are growing, not only the understanding, but the applying of God's law, that we're growing in love. I want to go over some of the tests that we'll receive. Real quickly, you don't need to turn to any of these. Part of persevering is to understand that we do go through tests. That's why we go through them. The test of our faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. But the genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor. You know, our faith our faith will be tested. Our faith will continue, or should continue to grow throughout our lives. We'll be tested of our patience. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 tells us, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. But our patience will be tested. I want to understand what's in my heart and my mind. We'll be tested of our obedience as well. John chapter 14, verse 15 tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. God will test our obedience. One last test I want to bring out this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. We'll test for one another, testing our love for one another. I also read this from the New English Translation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, we all know that we are not perfect. Brethren, we are not perfect. We do have to put up with one another, and we should be able to do that. We should be growing in godly love in our relationship. We should be able to talk about it, be able to correct any misunderstandings. That happens when we have humility and gentleness in God's love. We need to continue to persevere to receive God's promises and the things we're doing. Well, Gene Kranz responded to a comment during the Apollo 13. This is going to be NASA's darkest moment. When everything seemed to be going wrong, it didn't seem like there'd be any hope getting the astronauts back. That mission, he said, this is going to be our finest hour. This is going to be our finest hour. Friend, as we go through difficult times in our lives, I hope you'll think about that. I've thought about that, the difficult times that I've had in my life. This could be my finest hour. We have a great opportunity, but a great opportunity comes with great responsibility. God's given us something really special, very precious that we have. We're focused on a goal that's much greater than any physical goal on this earth. God's given us the opportunity. Give us the wonderful opportunity. God will be there for us. I'll conclude. You don't need to turn there, but I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 through 8. Everything was nearing the end, or excuse me. Paul was writing to the end of his life. He wrote this. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, on that day, not only to me, but also all those who love the Lord. Brethren, let's finish the race and the journey. Let's follow.